Have you ever been in one of those situations where a random subscription that you forgot about snatches your last bit of money before payday while you're in line at the grocery store? Y'all, I couldn't believe my ears either when my friend said that for real, but I get it. When I first started managing my own finances, I didn't realize how real things were actually going to get. Whether you're balancing school, holding it down as a parent, or just stepping into financial independence for the first time, it can feel like there's never enough money to cover everything. But ever since I found out more about Chime's features, I can breathe a little easier. Using Chime's checking account makes sticking to a budget way easier. A big thing, it has zero maintenance fees, which is huge if you're like me and trying to avoid those surprise 2 a.m. charges. Amen. Their fee-free overdraft of up to $200 has saved me from some serious stress between paydays. And Chime is down with the power of community, y'all. You can actually send or receive boosts to temporarily increase a friend's SpotMe limit. It's all about having each other's back when times get rough. Make your fall finances a little greener and get those financial goals in check with Chime. Open your account in just 2 minutes at chime.com/affirmations. Affirmations. That's chime.com/affirmations. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC, SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Let's talk about something that can help you feel your best no matter the time of the month. If you've been feeling like your hormones are on a wild roller coaster, I want to introduce you to a total game changer, the Hormone Harmony Supplement. Happy Mammoth is a company that's dedicated to making women's lives easier. Their Hormone Harmony is a supplement that helps maintain optimal hormone levels and, in turn, helps improve things like sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating, and even relieves some menopause symptoms like hot flashes and low moods. And hear me when I say this, they're using only science-backed ingredients proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and you can tell. I've tested out Hormone Harmony for myself, and I couldn't help but want to share it with friends and family. This is such a special product, y'all. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AFFIRMATIONS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code AFFIRMATIONS for 15% off today. So if you're ready to say goodbye to those unpredictable moments and hello to a more balanced you, give Hormone Harmony a try. Hey y'all, it's Tyra. This summer, we are switching things up. Welcome to Summer Stories, celebrating our narratives. Over the next few weeks, get ready to be inspired as we spotlight some of our amazing listeners, sharing their own powerful stories. Because let's face it, Black girls aren't a monolith. Our experiences are as diverse as we are beautiful. So grab your favorite beverage, find a cozy spot, and let's celebrate our stories together.
I don't know if anybody else has seen a lot of marriages and babies on their social media timeline, but I have, and it's really got me thinking about my relationships and just Black love in general. I feel like when we think about love, we often assume that that's pouring love into others, but what we forget is that in order to pour love into others, we need to pour that love into ourselves first. What's going on, beautiful people? You're listening to the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast, where we focus on personal growth and cultivating a healthy relationship with ourselves. I'm Sabrina. I'm also a podcaster, a social media enthusiast, if you will, and I'm a recent graduate school acceptee, and I'm going to be your guest host for this episode. In this episode, we're going to be talking all things Black love, from race-based trauma and the heaviness that can come with Black love, femininity and the expectations for Black women and women of other races, and just why Black love is important. All right, we're going to start with this week's affirmation. And this week's affirmation is, I will attract the partner I deserve. Let's go ahead and drop in. I will attract the partner I deserve. 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 One more time. I will attract the partner I deserve. All right, y'all. I'm going to be honest. This is definitely an affirmation that I have been telling myself on a consistent basis because, like I mentioned, I've been seeing a lot, and I mean a lot of people getting married and having babies on my social media timeline. Some of them I'm connected to, a lot of them I'm not, but even some of my close friends are in the process of getting married or they're getting engaged, or I just had a friend who just had a baby. Shout out to them. And it has really got me thinking a lot about where I'm at in terms of my relationships. Growing up, I was never really the girl who planned their dream wedding and pictured what their wedding dress would look like, what their future man would look like, etc., etc. I was never really that girly. I was more so like, I want to be a lawyer, and I always pictured like what my career would look like and just who I'd be as a woman. I also knew that I didn't want to have any kids at a pretty young age. And so as I get older and I start to reflect on where that mentality came from, it has me thinking, did I say those things because I genuinely wanted them? Or was I convincing myself that that's what I wanted because I never really saw an example of a healthy relationship? And anytime I got the message about love, it was always that love, and especially Black love, has to be hard. All right, I want to try and get the heavy stuff out of the way as quickly as possible because I don't want to be here like trauma dumping and stuff, but I am going to touch on some heavy stuff, and we're going to be talking about race-based trauma and the experiences of Black people and people of color. So if that's a little too much for you, I completely understand. You can go ahead and skip ahead a little bit because I promise it will get better. But let's just talk about it and let's be real about it. Race-based trauma. For anybody who's uncertain about what race-based trauma is, essentially it's trauma associated with your racial identity and your experiences within that racial identity. A common example, when people think about police brutality, they assume that that's an experience for just Black people, and that would be an example of race-based trauma. So when we think about that, I also just want to talk about how we as Black people have a heavy load to bear on a consistent basis, day in and day out, that we ourselves forget on a consistent basis. Because we walk almost on eggshells on a daily basis, we kind of numb ourselves to the idea of like, I'm actually going through a lot. For example, we all have been there where we've had that coworker say something slick about our hair, or maybe the way that we dress, or the way that we talk, or the music that we listen to, or whatever. And so we have to be able to mentally prepare ourselves to receive that energy and understand how we have to handle that and know and feel like, and I'm going to speak for myself, I'm not trying to generalize, but at least for myself, feel like I have to make the right decision, because whatever decision I do make, it's not just a reflection of me, but unfortunately, it's a reflection of all Black women, whether I know them or not. Now, depending on like where you live, who you're surrounded by, your mental health, and a whole host of other things, you may be doing okay with your trauma, race-based or not, but sometimes it's not until we're triggered that we realized, like, damn, that's actually holding a lot of weight on me. For example, we've all been there. We all just assumed, like, you know, I'm over this situation. I'm over this person. Like, I've let it go. I think I'm doing okay. And it's not until we're in a situation like that again where we're like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely not over it. And I thought that I was. And so when it comes to that, it's really important to take care of yourself and remind yourself that we go through a lot on a daily basis, and we need to take care of ourselves to ensure that we not only live a healthy life for ourselves, but also reflecting that when we don't take care of ourselves, not only does it impact us, but it also impacts other relationships that we're in, whether that's with friends, family, and romantic relationships. Another thing that I want to talk about in terms of Black love is the experiences Black people have growing up. And I'll just speak for myself because I don't want to generalize too much, because not every Black person goes through a significant amount of struggle, and not every Black person's upbringing is the exact same. And I don't want that to be the notion. But what I will say is that for myself and a lot of people that I've grown up with, there's this way of growing up that we know is unhealthy, right? And we know that when we get in trouble, sometimes we may have a disciplinary action that's a little physical, but, you know, nothing too serious, nothing too dangerous, but we might grow up with that, or we might grow up and not have really good relationships with either one or both of our parents. We just may not be too close to them, so on and so forth. Or we may grow up without a parent. Speaking from personal experience, growing up without both of my parents, I know that that affects how I show up in relationships, and I know that that affects how I can receive love from other people. And so growing up that way and feeling like it's hard to accept love from others makes it challenging to be in a relationship, especially in a relationship where I know I want to be with a Black man, and they might also be coming from a family where there is trauma as well. They may be missing a parent, or even if they're not missing a parent, there's a possibility that they might not be close to their parent, or maybe communication was never really a big thing. And I feel like that's something that we are kind of understanding about the Black community and growing up, is that communication and just like the level of understanding and respect for adults and children is very different in that relationship. And feeling like I can't tell my mom that she hurt my feelings because she's the adult, or whatever the case may be, or feeling like I can't go to my parent about this because I know that they're going to freak out and they're going to be so mad and I don't want them to be upset. And so we tend to learn how to withhold so much, and we learn how to just stuff that stuff into ourselves that we forget at some point that has to be let out. And the last thing we really want is for it to be let out in the wrong way, but because we may not be taking care of ourselves as much as we would like, it just comes out anyway. And so I was sitting at work and I was having a conversation with some of my other Black female coworkers and just telling them like, hey, I'm going to be on this podcast and this is what I'm going to be talking about. I'm super nervous because this is not like my podcast and I really want it to be good. And I want to make sure that I deliver this message in the right way. And so I asked them like, when you think about love, what do you think of? And we had a really good conversation, but I think the one thing that really aligned is that Black love is hard. And it's not that we want it to be hard, and it's not that we don't want to be in relationships with Black people or whatever the case may be, but it's just like, when we really think about it, when it's all said and done, it's so hard because everybody has trauma already. And what's important about trauma, before I go on, is that trauma, we often associate it with this giant, grandiose experience that has happened in our life that has completely altered who we are and how we operate in every single situation. And for some people, and in some cases, that might be true, but that's not always the case. Trauma really is just an experience that is significant to you and your life that has altered how you move about things within a specific situation that is triggering for you. So keeping that in mind, we talked about how Black love is just hard and how we as individuals already come with our own trauma. Everyone. Let's just take race out of it for a second. Everybody has trauma in their life. Everybody has experienced some level of a traumatic episode or experience in their life. Now adding race on top of that, we have our own personalized trauma that so-and-so doesn't have to go through because they're not in my shoes and I'm not in their shoes. But now we're adding race-based trauma, and there's some things about being Black that a lot of Black people can relate to in regards to race-based trauma. So now we're adding that on top of that, and that already is just a heavy load to bear, which can make getting into relationships challenging because it's almost like there's so much trauma coming from all these angles, and it's just like, well, do I work on this or do I work on that first, or what's more important to me? What's most important to me? What's going to help me ASAP? Because I want to get better and I want to be healed with this situation, but I just feel like there's so many things around me that I don't even know where to go. And so when I was talking to them, it just really gave me perspective of like, we all think that Black love is a beautiful thing. I think that Black love is a beautiful thing. It is something that I am striving for and I'm not trying to give up on. And so with that, though, with that beauty, there is a lot of hardness. And unfortunately, there is a lot of struggle, because I think we can be honest to say that within the Black community, we're trying to get better. But there's a conversation that we need to continue to have about mental health and being honest about that, and not just with women, because I feel like it's easier to talk about with women, but most importantly for men. For the sake of this episode, I'm going to be talking about a heterosexual relationship, but feel free to take the information as it applies best to you, your relationship, your identity, your situation. But keeping this in mind, when we're in a relationship where there's a man and a woman, and we already know that the woman is trying to heal in some cases, not always, but we know that the woman is trying to heal, but we don't create this space where men can also heal and men can also be vulnerable and feel their emotions and really just say like, hey, I am struggling. I'm feeling this. I'm going through that. And that's why I can't show up for you, because in all honesty, I can't show up for myself. We're creating a gap. We're creating a gap that's making it harder for us to be in relationships, because now I'm here in terms of my emotional and mental health, but I see that you're still down here, and to no fault of your own, you're being conditioned to believe that you can't be vulnerable, you can't be soft, you can't vocalize your feelings. But now we're creating this gap where it's kind of hard for us to meet in the middle, because even if I acknowledge that this is the case, right, that there's no space for you to vocalize your feelings and vocalize your emotions and be vulnerable, and I try to show up for you in that way, chances are you either, one, have never experienced that, so you don't know how to take it, or two, you're so embedded in what society tells you about how to show up as a man that you need more time than the person that you're with is probably going to be able to give you. And so it becomes hard to get into these relationships where we're already struggling with our own personalized traumas. And then adding our race-based trauma on top of that makes it really hard. And when I think about that, I often think about like how love for other races does not appear to be as hard as Black love. Black love seems to be the hardest type of racial love that there is. And it makes me wonder why, and I have a good idea as to why that is. And in all honesty, it's because when you think of Black love, and when you just think about Black people in the Black community in general, it's just like, how do we expect Black love to be successful when Black people, Black success is constantly being under attack? There's no way that we can get to healthy relationships when our community is constantly under attack strategically, and they're looking for ways to tear down our households. They're looking for ways to tear down just us as a people. And so it's just kind of hard, a kind of a hard pill to swallow as a Black woman who wants to be with a Black man. It's like my attempt at getting into a relationship is a lot harder because there's just so much outward noise, for lack of a better word, that's channeling into me as an individual and whoever I end up meeting as an individual on our own opposite ends. And then by the time we get together, we're going to have to work through our own things. We're going to have to work through the societal noise, and we're going to have to work through the race-based trauma that we will continue to deal with for the rest of our lives. Going back to that conversation about the Black community and some of the expectations and conversations we're having about mental health, I think it's also important to talk about the expectations that we have for our community. I think at a young age, we're always taught you need to be strong, you need to be independent, you need to work twice as hard to be half as good, quote unquote. And it causes a lot of pain for us at such a young age, because you're probably getting taught this when you're first going to school, or maybe like your first couple of years of school. And this causes you to grow up quickly. I don't think our parents or our caretakers really understand, like, when they're telling us this, it causes more harm than good. Like, I get you're trying to prepare me for the real world, but I'm seven. Let me be seven. Let me live my life. And so we put these harsh expectations on children, and those harsh expectations weigh us down so much that by the time we become adults, it's almost like we're numb to it, because we just know we got to go hard. We got to go in. We got to get to the money. We have to get to the bag. We have to do whatever we have to do, because we know that life is already hard for us. And so I want to shift into the next topic of femininity for Black women, and just talking about how these expectations alongside others can really cause detriment to the Black community as a whole. But really, Black women are starting to feel like the expectations are a little too harsh and a little too heavy, and we kind of get the short end of the stick.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take it from a podcaster and content creator. It is so important to talk. Growing up, I wasn't given the tools to communicate effectively. I'd suppress my feelings so much that I'd catch myself literally holding my breath in order not to feel things too deeply.
And at 22, I realized that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, frustrated, and angry. So I turned to therapy. If you're dealing with stress, anxiety, self-doubt, or just need someone to talk to, BetterHelp is there. I've talked about BetterHelp since the beginning of the podcast. They were literally the first service, well, the only service I've used to try therapy, and I genuinely think it's a great platform. For my first session, my new therapist asked my preference between video or phone call, and that's how I knew I was taking the right step. I opted for the phone call since I was a little bit too nervous, but speaking with my therapist weekly really helped me start opening up. Now I know how to take inventory of my feelings, reflect on my experiences, and know that feeling things is okay. BetterHelp's platform is entirely online and designed to be flexible and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And if at any point it doesn't feel like a good match anymore, switch therapists with no additional charge. No more waiting rooms or scheduling hassles, just you and your therapist, anytime, anywhere. Stop comparing and start focusing with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/affirmations today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/affirmations. BetterHelp, therapy made accessible. This episode is sponsored by Acorns. Ever since I celebrated my milestone birthday, year 30, I've been thinking a lot more about my future, especially when it comes to financial planning. For a long time, investing felt like something only certain people could do, especially if you don't have a ton of money lying around to start with. And I totally understand that diving into new things like investing can feel daunting and like a constant uphill battle. But I found a great service called Acorns. Actually, I heard about it first from my brother who swears by it, and it has really shifted my mindset. It's making investing not only possible, but more accessible, especially in our community. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can start with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Personally, I think it's dope how Acorns helps you take those small baby steps towards investing. And I can't stress this enough, y'all. It's never too early or never too late to start. Small actions today have the potential to make a massive impact on your future, whether you're just interested in the basics or trying to figure out what big move is your next move. Acorns is such a game changer. It's been a relief knowing that I don't need to constantly check up on things and still be moving forward towards my financial goals, just a few cents at a time. Acorns is a simple tool designed to improve lives, y'all. And you know what they say, from acorns, mighty oaks do grow. So head to acorns.com/affirmations or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/affirmations. Y'all, it is the last quarter of the year. As the year winds down, I've been reflecting on some of my goals, and one of them has been to sharpen my Italian and my Spanish. I can't lie, it has not been easy this year, but whether you're looking to check off a goal before the new year or just want to quickly pick up a new skill, Rosetta Stone is the perfect way to make that happen. I know y'all recognize the name. For over 30 years, learners have turned to Rosetta Stone to build the fluency and confidence they need to speak new languages. It's the most trusted language learning program for a reason. Their true accent speech recognition technology is top-notch, helping you perfect your accent like a pro. It's literally like having a personal language coach guiding you every step of the way. With Rosetta Stone, you can learn on the go with their app or on your desktop, so it's super flexible and fits right into a packed schedule. Compared to those other language learning apps, Rosetta Stone offers 12 more languages and with lifetime access to all 25 languages. Yes, lifetime access. It's honestly a steal. Whatever your reason for wanting to learn a language, do it right with Rosetta Stone. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. AFBG listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today.
So let's talk about it. Femininity for Black women. When I think about femininity, I think about like a couple of years ago, I'm going to say like 2, maybe 3-ish. I feel like this conversation of like feminine and masculine energy really started coming about and people started having conversations about what that means, what that looks like, how the two complement each other, and why too much of one energy in a relationship can be detrimental. And so essentially, for anybody who's unfamiliar, masculine energy, this is just what I looked up, don't come for me, but according to like Google, what masculine energy is associated with is working hard, being the provider, and just a hardness in general, and sometimes a lack of emotional availability, where feminine energy is more so associated with the counterpart to the provider, associated with a softness. You might be more creative, and you're most likely more emotionally available. One thing to preface is that everybody, every human being, regardless of how you identify, has a combination of both energies. Usually, the people who identify as women or female have more of the feminine energy, and the people who identify as masculine and male have more of the masculine energy. And so what's interesting as I did more research about it and as I just started to learn about it is that too much of the same energy in a relationship is hard. And let me just go ahead and preface this, right? When I started like looking this up, in all honesty, it was for my own knowledge. I know for a fact I am living in my masculine energy. I work very, very hard. There's a wall up in terms of my emotional availability. I'm aware of it. I know I am in my masculine energy. And the conversations when I first started hearing about them honestly made me feel insecure about that, because it kind of made me wonder, like, is this why, like, it's hard for me to find relationships, healthy relationships, good relationships, and a compatible partner? Because I'm too masculine, I'm too independent, I'm too unwilling to be vulnerable with somebody. And let me just preface this now. Man, woman, non-binary, however you identify, being independent is not the problem. Being a hard worker is not the problem. But what I will say, at least from my personal experience, is that when you're too independent to the point where you are unwilling to accept help from anyone, friends, family, relationships, romantic relationships, that's kind of where the clash starts to happen. And that's what I started picking up on when I did some research on this, is that essentially, because you're so unwilling to be helped and because you're so unwilling to open up, the person doesn't want to try and do all this extra heavy lifting to get you there. And in some cases, I don't blame them for that. It's almost like, for example, if you were to get into a relationship with somebody who's really, really struggling with their mental health, you might try. But if you see like your efforts just not enough, or you feel yourself like I'm not qualified enough to help you, you may have to gracefully bow out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so when we talk about femininity for Black women, it's just very, very different than femininity for women of other races. Because when we think about how here in the U.S., people are ranked, and as much as I am disgusted by that, it's true. As much as we think about how people are ranked, we already know that Black people are sitting at the bottom. They're sitting at the totem pole, bottom of the totem pole. And then when we think about Black women, they're really, really at the bottom. And so you're already in society's eyes viewed as less than. And so then when we get those messages from our parents or our caretakers or from wherever, society, of we need to work harder, we need to be independent, we need to get it for ourselves because there's no guarantee that somebody else is going to get it for you, so on and so forth, we become what we're told to, pretty much. We become independent. We become hardworking, and we get to where we need to get to. And I saw a study the other day on LinkedIn, an article, I should say, that talked about how Black female entrepreneurs, or women, people who identify as women entrepreneurs, are really on the rise. And it's definitely has to do with the fact that they just are working really hard. Like, they want to get to where they want to get to. And I thought it was interesting, but in the back of my mind, as I finished reading the article, a lot of the people who were interviewed for the article were saying, like, I pretty much am an entrepreneur because I have to be, because work is hard, but also because I know that these are the things that I want, and I keep getting passed up for promotions. I keep getting passed up for opportunities, so I'm going to do it myself. And this is where I started thinking of, like, Black women are really forced into their masculine energy. And it's not until our back's up against the wall and we've been sitting there for hours that we're like, no, I don't want to leave, because what is life going to look like if I move? Where are we going from here? And also, just like, I've gotten used to this space. And I'll speak for myself when I say I've gotten very used to being independent. I've gotten very used to doing things my own way. And even though there are days where I am super, super tired of doing it, and I really wish that I had somebody to help me, it's hard to let the reins go and let somebody else take lead and take control, because you're so used to doing everything for yourself. You're so used to showing up for yourself and doing things your own way, that when the opportunity is presented to you to have somebody else help you and lead you, you don't know how to take it. You don't know what to do with it. You're not sure how this is supposed to work. And you might not even be ready, because it's new for you. It's very foreign. And so I think that that's something that we have to start understanding, is that if you're a Black woman and you're living in your masculinity, chances are you're living here because you're forced to, whether that's by your job, your family, your relationship experiences, your friends, whatever the case may be. Oftentimes we're there because we're backed into a corner. And I think the other thing too is that it can be really hard to get out of that, because, at least for me, you start wondering, like, well, what's going to change? Or also, like, being soft is just very uncomfortable, because it's not, again, not familiar for you. If you're a Black woman who is living in their masculinity and really wants to step out of that and start being more soft and being more feminine, here are some things you can do. I would highly recommend, one, just understanding where that masculine energy and how you got there came from. Like, how did you get to this point where it's like you're so rooted in your masculine energy that you didn't even realize until either you listen to this podcast episode, maybe you see it, somebody talking about it online. Like, how did you get there? And start with that. And I would really journal about it and just be honest, be open about it, and just talk about, like, these are the things that make me feel like I have to be independent, work hard, be untrusting almost of people, be honest about it. And the next thing is to just talk about it with people that you're comfortable with, whether that's a close friend, a close family member, maybe your significant other. Just talk to somebody about it and just get that off your chest. When I was talking to my coworkers at work, it really did make me feel better to talk about, like, feeling like I've lived very much in my masculine energy and wondering if I'm ever going to be in a relationship, because it's going to be a long, long journey for me to kind of step out of that, especially knowing where I want to go with my future career. And so it's nice to listen to other people also talk about, like, yeah, this is how I feel too. These are some of the things that I did. Or, you know, like, you can always share your feelings and your thoughts here in this space. Just going to somebody or a group of people that you can feel like not only listen to you, but also want to help you or can point you in the right direction is so beneficial, because I think we often underestimate the importance of community when it comes to our most intimate feelings. But it's so important to have somebody that you could talk to, because you want to be able to bounce this off your chest, and you'll also be practicing how to be more vulnerable. So you get a 2-for-1 deal when it comes with that. I think the next thing that I would do, or that I would recommend for you, is to figure out what things can you start making a little shift in to be more feminine and to be more soft, and things that you're comfortable with. It doesn't have to be like, some people will recommend, like, doing your makeup and getting super dressed up and X, Y, and Z. Some people, it's not even about that. It might just be being more open about your feelings. It might just be letting somebody help you and accepting the help. It might just be letting somebody tell you that they love you. Because I don't know about y'all, but I get very uncomfortable when somebody says, like, I love you. I don't like it. And I'm working on it. I am. But really just taking the steps to see what you can start doing to make that shift in your level of masculinity. Because if you don't want to be there, you don't have to be. But it is hard to make that shift, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's not. And I think the last thing and the most important thing to do is to try new things that you're comfortable with that will allow you to be in your feminine energy. And again, it doesn't mean altering your appearance if that's not what you want. And if that is what you want, do it in a way that's best for you and that's best fit in pockets, boo. Do not break your pockets because you're trying to be more feminine, okay? Work with what's best for you. But try some things that will allow you to be more creative, that allow you to be more vulnerable, that will allow you to accept love and pour out love. But please make sure that your cup is full before you start just giving everybody out love like it's candy on Halloween. I'm begging you. I want to just quickly preface like my experience with dating. My experience with dating is very limited. I just want to say that. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, when I was younger, I was never really the person who envisioned what their dream wedding would look like, what their husband would look like, how their dream life would look like in that aspect. And I knew I didn't want any kids. That I was standing on business on that. And to this day, I still stand on business on that. I don't want any biological children. I did make a shift. And so when I think about that and when I think about how I got to that mentality, it's really just a matter of not seeing any healthy relationships in my childhood and in my upbringing. And I think that that makes a huge impact on how I show up in relationships and my view on relationships. And so when I was 19, I had somebody approach me, my ex-boyfriend, and say like they wanted to date me. And I knew I wasn't ready to date because I knew I had never seen an example of a healthy relationship. I seen a lot of what I didn't want, which is important. I also knew that I had a lot of trauma and mental health issues that were unresolved that I wanted to work on. And I just knew that I wasn't in the best space to be in a relationship. And if you ever feel that way, please listen to your gut. Please listen to that mentality. Don't ignore it. Don't think that like, oh, it'll be okay for this person. Like I wouldn't ignore it. I know some people say like, if you find the right person, it'll work for you. I haven't experienced that, so I'm not going to even like speak on that. But what I'm going to say is that if you know you're not ready, do not force it. Even if you do like this person, if that person is for you, it'll happen when you're ready and when the timing is better. Don't try to force it just because the opportunity presented itself now, but you're not healthy. And so I did the opposite of what I'm giving to you. So after some time, I did end up entering that relationship. And at first, it was actually pretty good. You know, we were dating. We were talking all the time. We were hanging out all the time. And it really just allowed me to start being a little more soft. I think he actually did say something about the fact of like, you never really let anybody help you, or you never something, something. I don't know. It had something to do with like my extreme sense of independence. And it wasn't rude, but he was right. I mean, I already knew that I felt that way before I met him. And so I started to be a little more comfortable with being feminine and being in my feminine energy. And so when the time came for us to like really start stepping things up to the next level, I felt good about it. I didn't feel any regrets or whatever the case may be. And I honestly felt like I felt good. And our relationship did end, and it did end on a pretty bad note. There were a lot of factors into that. I mean, I was in college at the time, and so was he, but he was 2 years older than me. And then the pandemic happened, so we were in isolation, and so we were in different states. There was a lot of stuff going on with the Black Lives Matter movement at that time. And I was very, very depressed. I mean, it's one thing for all of us to be in isolation, and that's a traumatic thing in and of itself. Nobody had ever experienced that. Nobody was prepared for that. Knowing that I had some mental health issues and some emotional issues buried because I had entered this relationship, they started coming up to the surface because I was spending a lot of time alone. And then having that race-based trauma of constantly seeing people getting murdered on the news was so heavy for me. I was very, 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 very depressed. And I feel like that's where our relationships kind of started going south, because I was depressed and like we spent all day talking, but I wasn't myself and I didn't feel like myself and I just break down. And when like the pandemic lightened up and we got to spend more time with each other and he moved back to our shared state, we spent too much time together. And it, looking back on it now, it was definitely a trauma bond. We were definitely spending a lot of time together because we didn't want to face our traumas. He had a traumatic past that I already knew about, and I knew that I had my own traumas. And so coming back together and just spending all that time together, it was because we were avoiding dealing with what we had to deal with and what we knew was a problem when we were in isolation. And that just made things 10 times worse. And so there ended up being cheating on his end, and we just broke up after that, after like trying so hard and going back and forth and whatever. And at first I was very upset, as anybody can expect. But now, after being removed from that situation, about 2 years removed, I look back on it, and yes, do some things sting still? Absolutely. But when I look back on it, and when I look on my career as an educator and working in schools, the combination of being with this person and working in the schools and working with kids has taught me a lot about myself. And that relationship taught me that I can be soft, I can be feminine, I can care for somebody other than myself and love somebody on a romantic level, because I honestly thought I was incapable of that. And so even though our relationship ended poorly and we had our issues and I would never re-enter that situation, I always am grateful for the fact that, like, if not for nothing else, you showed me that I'm going to be a great partner someday, a great wife to somebody someday, a great mother to somebody someday, when I'm ready and when I'm healthy mentally. And I'm happy to say, guys, that I'm doing a lot better with my mental health. Just want to preface that. In addition to that, like I mentioned, I do work at a school. And I was a teacher last year, right after exiting that relationship, and working with the kids and being their teacher really taught me, like, I can nurture and I can be nurturing and I can be there for these kids. And I love it. And there's nothing I wouldn't have traded for the relationships I had built with them. Did I hate teaching? Absolutely. But did I love the kids? I sure did. And so being in that relationship and being a teacher really taught me that my upbringing is what made me think and made me, like, convinced me that I didn't want to be in a relationship, when in reality I did. I do want to be married. I do want to be a mom, an adoptive mom. I don't want any biological children. I'm still standing my ground on that one. But I will say that I learned a lot from those experiences, and sometimes we can learn a lot from our pain. We can learn a lot from our traumas, and it's important to take the good out of those situations. Okay. Moving along, here are some of the things that you can do if you feel like your love life is just not getting anywhere. It's not getting anywhere, and you know that you have some things that you need to work on, or you're not sure why, whatever. Here are some things that you can do. And the first one is spend time alone. Praying, journaling, going for a drive with a fire playlist, whatever you need to do, do it. I am somebody who was avidly avoiding spending time alone because I knew that that meant that I would have to deal with some traumas. I knew that that meant that I would have to face some real stuff. And so I was avoiding that for a long period of time. And in all honesty, spending time alone is what helped me realize these are the things that I need to work on if I want to be in a healthy Black love and if I want to be a healthy and happy mom and wife someday. The next thing is God's plan has zero confusion. If you're confused about whatever situation that you're in, get out. You're not supposed to be confused at all. Anywho, the next thing is eliminate any distractions. No more dating apps, no more setups from friends or family, no more idolizing marriage and relationships, and really just start pouring into yourself. I know a lot of people have heard that phrase of, like, when you focus on yourself, that's when you really start to see, like, the things happen for you. That's when your life really starts to change. And so I'm putting that theory to the test. And what I will say is that my life has been changing drastically. And so I would highly recommend no more dating apps, no more setups. Leave it alone. When it's ready for you, when it's for you, it'll come to you. You don't even have to think about it. Next one, stand on business. No settling. If you feel like a situation is giving you it's a no. And I feel like that's very self-explanatory. Stand on business. Whatever. And I'm not even going to just, let's just take relationships out of this for a second. This is not even about relationships. Stand on business. Whatever goals you're trying to reach, whatever relationships you're trying to be in, whatever life you want to have for yourself, stand on business. Stand on that and be committed to that. And then going back to relationships, stand on business, because you don't want to be entering something where it's like, and you feel like you're settling, because you're going to become resentful, and that's just not going to be a good situation for anyone. And the last thing is a little controversial and not for everyone, and I completely understand that, and that's perfectly fine, but celibacy. Celibacy is important. It's also in the category of eliminating distractions. If you feel like your love life's not going anywhere, but you're, you know, engaging in extracurricular activities with some people, maybe cutting that out might help. And I'm not shading or shaming anyone. I've been in situations where I've gone back on my word in terms of celibacy, and I regret it because it didn't get me anywhere, didn't get me to the relationship I wanted to be at, clearly. And that's perfectly okay. I mean, I learned something from it, but it's worth eliminating that distraction and just seeing how far things go for you when you put that energy towards yourself. When I think about Black love, I think about how important it is, because it's not just about two people being in a relationship, but it's really about the community of people and just undoing and unlearning generational patterns and showing other people in your community that a healthy Black love is possible. There are so many messages about Black love and it being hard or it not being healthy and just always being associated with struggle. And so Black love is important because it allows us to show other people that it's possible for you, whether that's adults or kids. And so I think that Black love is really important because we're breaking generational patterns. We're doing a lot of healing for the past and for the present and even for our future. And I think the last thing that's really important is that we can have the love that we desire. We can be able to give that love to others, but we have to give that love to ourselves first. All right, y'all, it is time for the fun closing segment, and I chose What Am I Watching? And I know some of y'all might be like, girl, you are late. I'm sorry. But my recommendation for this week is the show Insecure. I'm watching it on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, it's with Issa Rae. I think she even like produced it, or it's like the executive producer, something like that. But I really, really like the show. It's definitely a light into what the Black community is like and what life is like for Black people. And it talks about things from toxic friendships, mental health, Black people in their life in corporate, and Black love. And something that I'm really picking up on right now that I kind of prefaced in this episode is the Black men in this show, some of the main characters are struggling with mental health issues and they get ignored. Not only do they get ignored, but they kind of get like disrespected for going through those issues, because instead of acknowledging them for what they are as mental health issues, they acknowledge them as like laziness or just anything else besides a mental health issue. And it really has me thinking about like how we preface the conversation around mental health for Black men and what we can do better to cultivate a healthier space for them to have those conversations and to be vulnerable and to say, I'm depressed because of this, I'm sad because of that. And I think another thing too is they talked a lot about toxic friendships and the two main characters, Issa and Molly, and their relationship. And I loved Molly's character because they really talk about the realness of feeling like your life should be a certain way because you've worked so hard and you've done all the right things and you should be here by now, and just kind of like breaking down her life. I'm not going to give too much because I definitely want you guys to see it. But what I will say is that the show touched me in so many ways because it's real. It's so, so, so real. And if I could give this to a person who has never met a Black person a day in their life or has never been to the U.S. and seen what Black life is for people in the U.S., I would hand them this show and be like, here you go, study up. And so that's my recommendation for this week. All right, y'all, that's all I have for you this week. Make sure that you go ahead and join us next week for a new guest episode. I know that it's going to be good, but before I go, I just want to say that if you like today's episode and the sound of my voice, I do have a podcast. I have a podcast called the Hood Soft Life Podcast, where I talk about growing up in the hood and really trying to leave that space, both mentally and physically, for a soft life and your dream life. And I talk about my journey and my experiences, and it's really more so from my first person experiences, and it's very in the moment, it's very real, it's very raw, and I feel like I have a pretty good community over there. So if you liked what you heard today, make sure you go ahead and check me out. All the links for that will be in the show notes or in the description. And until then, I'm going to catch you in the next one.
Hey, AFBG family, Tyra here. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Summer Stories, Celebrating Our Narratives. Wasn't this guest host amazing? Be sure to check out the show notes to learn more about her, and make sure you rate the podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Affirmations for Black Girls. And do not forget to sign up for our newsletter that is also linked down below in the show notes. We have some amazing things coming for you. I'm super excited for what the future holds. So be sure to tune in again next week. This is Affirmations for Black Girls.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.